Are we live?
Let's see. Live.
Linda starting?
Let's see, yeah. But wait.
No, there's no waiting, guys. We're already live.
We're live? All right. Is there anybody even here? Or there's three people watching.
What?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. Happy New Year. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm your other host, Bella.
And before we begin, please help us out and hit that subscribe button. Start chatting and engaging with us, and don't forget to like and share our content. And before we start,
let's let everybody know we're live.
Yes, we're gonna go on our Instagram, and I think we need to amp up our Twitter stuff, but we're gonna go on Instagram, Telegram, and I guess through social and let people know that we are live. Come in. First live of the year. We are very excited. We miss you guys a lot because, like I said before, I think Instagram is dead and I don't enjoy it anymore.
Don't say that.
And it's boring and it's whack. And our lives are the best and you guys are the best audience. We have a lot to tell you guys about. By the way, I have allergies. I don't have COVID and I'm not crying. And I've had allergies for the past like 3 hours and I took medicine. It didn't go away. I had to like put my mascara like 10 minutes before the show because my eyes have been watering in my nose. So if you guys see me going like this, it's because I have really bad allergies. So
what's going on?
Let me go on my Instagram really quick and update people that we are live. Go ahead, Bella.
What's up, everyone? Instagram is dead. Now you're going to get everybody stuck on the Instagram is dead. Instagram is not dead. I'm not ready to say goodbye to Instagram, bro. All right, guys. So we have so much to talk about. How was your winter break? What did you guys do? Did you hang out with your fam? How did you survive without us? That's a good question. How did you ever live without Latina on your feet on a regular?
We are so back.
Linda was in Colombia living the true life from the motherland. Con la criada, que le cortaba el mango.
That's true.
Que si le lavaba la ropa without having to ask.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. What was I up to? Did we record?
Hey, guys, we are live on YouTube. Come by. It's going to be a great show, first show of the year. So click this link and join us. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Just looking at this. Yeah. I don't know. I just came back. It was a nice little vacation hiatus, not having to worry about what to post and arguing with people. And, oh, my God. Everybody's like, oh, my God, DeSantis. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's been a nice break and thoroughly enjoyed, but we are so glad to be here with you guys. Ideally, what we wanted to do was finish the year with, like, top moments of 2022. Yeah. But I'll just be honest with you guys. We just really wanted to enjoy our vacation, and we felt like we deserved it after last year.
Yeah, we went through a really tough year, which we're going to wait for a few more people. It's only 9:05, and we're doing great numbers, but we're going to wait for a few more people to come in because we do have updates, great stuff to tell you guys about. The show has been a great success, and we didn't even spend that much time on YouTube. We obviously want to spend a lot more time on YouTube, grow our audience here, be able to grow the show, and do more lives per week, right? We want to shoot for 3 lives sometime this year, start with 2, and then go up to 3 times a week. And all of that to say that we've come to a lot of conclusions because both of our platforms and everything that we do, like what she's done individually, what I've done individually, and what we've done together has evolved through the years. And obviously, it's going to keep evolving.
For those of you that haven't been following our content from the beginning, I started Red Pill Babe 5 years ago. Linda started Wake Up with Linda almost 6-7 years ago. I don't think either one of us really had a plan for our platforms when we first started, like, talking and posting. Honestly, when I started posting, it was even like in secret. I just felt this very heavy calling to be able to share information that somehow I had always thought was just useless knowledge that nobody cared about, and all of a sudden the Great Awakening happening and everybody cares. But we've had to morph our platforms, you know, and I think that one of the biggest transitions that we went through was after January 2021, you know, we took on a very demanding role as activists.
And it was extremely unexpected. It was organic, and we never foresaw anything that came 2021 and then 2022, amplified in 2022. And to be honest with you, it has been extremely heavy on both of us, from a mental perspective, physical, spiritual. Like, you know, we started as content creators. I was making
shit
memes,
posters.
Shit posters. Prior to censorship, I was talking about vaccines. Not everybody talks about vaccines back then. Nobody talked about vaccines. We weren't cool. We weren't accepted. Republicans didn't
this
like
was
us.
Pre-2020 when pre-2020. A mass awakening happened where people start asking questions. And it was just a really different
It was a different atmosphere for sure, yeah. On the internet, on every single website. I think Twitter was still pretty censored. But anyways, you know, it was really COVID that somehow our platforms became more of activists, right? Because we kind of fell in that right-wing MAGA anti-establishment category. And so here we start saying, F this, we're going to become locally involved. We're going to push back against lockdowns. We're going to push back against the masks. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We obviously were trying to get Trump elected. We saw what happened come January 6th, and then starts the political persecution for everybody, mass censorship. You know, we started a movement here in Miami with APC and getting, you know, what we said, patriots together, like-minded individuals in Miami to push back against local politics, to get involved, to take accountability, to take responsibility, and be active within your local community. But that also turned into a lot of drama and unnecessary bullshit for us that we never signed up for.
I just
and
don't
really,
think that most people, you know, Linda
most
and
people
I,
don't know the truth, which
most
is what we want to tell you
the
about.
Whole story. Right. I guess that, you know, part of it is leading up. We want to tell you guys a little bit of our goals for 2023 and kind of where we're headed and what we want to focus on and kind of give you guys a little bit of background on
we want to be
really
more real
went through in 2022. And, you know, having these platforms for as long as we did, probably during the single most divisive election that this country has ever seen, we did not get the attacks, the political persecution, the infiltrated, the backstabbing. We didn't see any of that until we started pushing for local involvement, which was extremely effective.
As you saw,
as you
with
guys
Miami
saw
Dade
all year long,
red, right?
You know, every effort that we put out absolutely had a payout in the community, but it hasn't come without a huge sacrifice. I lost my job over this. We were attacked relentlessly. My normie friends that have nothing to do with this were doxxed. My marriage was talked about. Like, we had
there has been a lot of personal
infiltrated
attacks.
Like deeply infiltrated by members of the community, of people that we trusted, that we called friends, that we developed friendships with, that were in my house, that were in
moms,
Linda's
parents,
house,
parents,
met our parents.
It was
and
all
they
parents,
were operatives.
Right.
Like it almost sounds like something out of a movie, and it's like I hate to sound like we've got main character syndrome because it's not something that we necessarily put a lot of emphasis in all of last year. But the truth is that we suffered a lot of personal attacks. And
I understand people saying, you know, it comes with the territory, and that's true. Like if you're going to be an online personality, a streamer, whatever you want to call it, influencer, activist, social media influencer. I mean, I don't know. It does come with a territory. It does come with criticism. But the way that what we experienced last year was completely out of control. Like we saw the Unity Party working against friends of ours, ourselves. When people came up to us asking us to push the school board protests, to help them get the word out, we did it out of the kindness of our heart. Like we're not getting paid for that. It's not like someone is paying me $1,000 to promote your school board protests or whatever on my story or on my Instagram. We did it because we truly believe in change. We truly believe in all these things. However, the same people that were asking us for help, that wanted to work with us, that wanted to be involved, that presented some sort of like community, you know,
and we fell for the cheese.
And we fell for it. These people backstabbed us. These people called us grifters. These people, you know, trashed us. These people have come after our livelihoods. Like, we're still, I'm still being harassed by a lady named Alexandra. Whatever, I forgot her last name. I'm still being harassed by a mother that I try to help, you know, that we try to help, because I don't even know, whatever reason, she has it out for us. Like, she's still fucking harassing me and going on her Telegram, and she just docked us right now in December on her Telegrams, posted my home address, posted her home address. And for what? For the simple fact that you wanted to use our platforms for whatever reason, for the simple fact that we didn't want to be involved in drama. She has been attacked. I mean, she lost her job. And so we tell you all this to say that as far as being that close to anything, to any movement, we're not doing that this year. We're not going to do that because it has come with a very, with a mental toll of, you know, dealing with drama, wasting time, wasting energy.
It really hasn't been so much the effort that it's taken or the toll that it's taken on us, and it has. I think that really what it's come down to is that there's not necessarily what we see as gratitude. We've had, you know, people try and take our credit. Not that we ask for credit, but at a minimum, don't try and tell me that we haven't done anything. Like, we have got actual people that are, you know, that were part of the movement way after, you know, we began the wave, that just had, it's just been such a horrible experience, guys. Like, it's been a really difficult and traumatizing experience. Like, me and Linda don't talk to anybody except one another. We don't trust anybody. It's like, you can't be friends with anybody without having to worry about screenshots of your conversations getting out, secrets about your life getting out. And
then personal attacks, like, they'll literally find anything to attack you. Like, you know, it's like personal, your physical appearance, like your lifestyle. Like, I used to be a lot more open with my followers. I used to show a lot more of my life. I used to go in stories and be funny and this. And like, I don't even have that desire to do that anymore, to connect with people, because we have gotten so fucked over. Like, that is honestly what it comes down to. We're not going to make this into like a dwelling like show, but we're being honest with you.
We want to share that because
we also need boundaries. We had like boundaries. Like,
we had a lot to think about over break. And one of the things that we discussed is definitely boundaries that we want to have.
Right.
And another thing that we definitely talked about is that, you know, we want to make this our livelihood.
Right.
We want to turn Mostly Peaceful into our only job. I don't want to have to worry about my day job anymore. I want to make a living off of what it is that we do. And honestly, I think we've earned that. I think that we've sacrificed a lot and we've given a lot to the community. And I think that we're finally at a point right now where we're like, you know what? We want to make a livelihood of this. And we tell you guys because we're going to be depending on you guys to support us, to help us through this, share our contact, your contributions. All of it is very much appreciated. But, you know, going into this new direction, our goal is to treat this as a job in order to be able to take away the emotional aspect of it that has been
extremely toll. It's been a toll on both of
us. It's definitely taken a toll on our spirit, on our mental well-being. You guys cannot imagine what it's like to live in a constant state of...
I don't even know what to say. Before we go on, I want to say thank you to Adam, who already contributed $50 to us.
Happy New Year. There's been a couple of contributions.
Shoot a 305. Adam, Happy New Year. Kicking it off with my first Anti-Lizard People donation this year. Linda and Bella for Speaker of the House. Love you both. God bless.
I love that.
Thank you so much,
Adam. Remember, guys,
that
we are 100% self-funded. No lizard people. No Illuminati, which means that we got to grind for everything that we have. So your support and your contributions go a very long way. They help us pay for the podcast, and hopefully they'll help us pay for more podcasts so we can bring you guys more content. So thank you, Adam, for continuously supporting us. You've been such a great
Shuda 305. Happy New Year, mamacitas. It will be an excellent year left as Soy consumers uncomfortable. Very, very true. Although, let's not forget that lately Republicans have been crying nonstop. It's been actually very scary to see. Adam, once again, thank you so much. I have to go. So Reyna, I know you sent us a Christmas card. I've been really terrible. I have not gone to my PO box. And I'm gonna go this week. You know, I'll probably go tomorrow. And then Shuda 305 insurrection day tomorrow, praying for the freedom of J6 political prisoners. I agree. Amen. Very, very important. So look, with that being said, like, you know, something as small as this, for example, Matt was like, the fact that Linda has no kids and did everything that she did locally with the schools, etc. Do you understand that even having no kids, it's taking it against me? Like, the fact that I have no kids, no idea. Like, personally, people don't know why. What if I can't have any kids? What if I just can't like physically reproduce? But that has actually been used by both, you know,
people within the activist
like Billy Corbin from the Antifa left, yeah, and from the right, Alexandria as well. Like, you have no kids. So it's like, okay, then fuck you guys. You're right. I have no kids. Why am I even trying to help parents when parents are coming after me for whatever reason to say you have no kids? So now even the fact that I, without any...
instead of looking at that as like, here's this right, person with no children, right, making the time, even sacrificing that, their time, their right, mental well-being in order to be able to speak out about this cause. And then they use that and say, oh, well, they're just grifters looking for attention because they don't even have kids.
Right. So
why the fuck do I want to do this, bro? This is horrible.
Everything is weaponized.
There's nothing fun about this.
Everything has been weaponized against us. Like, literally, the fact that I have no kids has been weaponized against me, my platform, to trash me and say that I shouldn't promote or talk about the school board or anything that's going on because I have no children in the school district. And, you know, the attacks have been very, very nasty. Same thing with Bella and her livelihood. So we're just letting you know, because it's very easy to, you know, bother people down the DM or ask for more or say this or just attack when you don't walk a mile in this shit. It's very cliche, but if like you're not in people's positions, you wouldn't understand. Doing this has actually made me extremely sympathetic to celebrities. I never thought I would say that. And it's probably one of the reasons why I do not jump on the bandwagon of conservatives whenever against Cardi B and Kim Kardashian and this and that and Travis Scott. Because honestly, I'm not a celebrity. Like, we're nobodies. We're literally just like shit posters on the internet that decided to start a podcast. But with that being said, whenever I see the attack on like, it just happened to Kim Kardashian with her dogs or something, I'm like, oh God, like I can't. It's no wonder that she says, like, I read no comments. I don't read my DMs. Like, I don't even spend that much time on my Instagram. It's just like posting and I get the fuck out because it's so draining and mentally taxing on people to just be attacked all the time for no reason at all.
For no reason. I mean, it's not just the left. Like, I'm sure that, yeah, you guys have seen it. It's like,
yeah,
you have too many followers and all of a sudden you're Illuminati, or
right,
you're, you know, you're Kazarian owned, or right, it's always something. You've got an Adam's apple, whatever. Right. Like, all the right, stupid shit that people come up with. Like, you know, you held your hands in the wrong way for too long. And now it's just so ridiculous that right, we have to deal with this day in and day out. But the truth is that we understand that this is part of what comes with the Tory, with the territory. We truly understand just how bad it could get after getting locally involved. So we ask you guys, you know, while you're out there and you're out there getting involved and doing your activism, just be smart, careful who you trust, protect yourself, and set boundaries, which is one of the things that Linda and I have discussed. We will be setting boundaries coming into 2023. And part of those boundaries is that we are content creators and we do want to make this our full-time job.
Yeah,
and
we're definitely taking a step back from the activism part of it and people that, you know, even
well, just, we'll still be involved in the activism behind right, the scenes right, to some degree.
To some degree. But the thing is, like, people coming down my DM with every single problem that they have with their kids in school and this and that, like, I constantly post about the local organizations that are well organized and funded for you guys to join, go to their local meetings, talk as parents, go to the school board. Like, I'm not an elected official. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't, like, I don't work for the school board for me to, like, just have to look at everything in your child's curriculum or the performance or teacher.
Right, this. We want to encourage. Right. And I think that that's part of what's happened in the lack of boundaries is that we want to encourage you to get involved in the civic process. Right. We want to encourage you through our own testimony to know that when you get involved, you will see results. Right. Like we have seen exceptional results in Miami-Dade through our work. But with that being said, Linda and I can't save every single school in every single district across the entire country. We need help. We need your help. We need we need help of financial backing. We need all sorts of things in order to be able to take on a project of that magnitude, which isn't even in our realm right now. What we do want to do is continue to encourage you to get involved. Take the civic responsibility serious. Become a part of saving the republic.
Join organizations like the CCDF. You know, I told you before, they're actually doing great work here in Miami. They don't have chapters in every single county, but they do in many, many counties, and they are very effective, funded, and organized. Why is it important? Because someone is going to do all this job to research the law, whatever is breaking, or how they're using the budget. That takes time. That takes money. And so these are the organizations that we definitely encourage you to join, follow on social media, see what they're up to, sign up for their email list so that you know when they have the next event. Like in Miami, they just had, a discussion with the school board about trans flags and LGBT flags. That's not going to happen in Miami.
And the public bathrooms, schools, the...
Well, yes, the and the bathrooms.
Bathrooms. And the transgender things, bathrooms. The gender bathrooms and that the only flag that should be raised
it's in the American public flag.
Is the American flag. And we're going to continue to stand behind these efforts and continue to tell you guys about it. We just kind of want to draw a line where last year we wanted to save the world. And this year we want to help you do your part to save and the
it's
world.
Just, it, you know, this is an informational podcast as well. Sorry, guys, if you're just getting here, I have really bad allergies. But I guess to start off, the first most controversial thing happening in America right now is the Speaker of the House race. We do not have a Speaker of the House, even though Republicans took the House for a very slim margin.
Someone commented earlier today that as long as they're voting, they're not fucking anything up. So as long as we don't have a speaker, they can't do anything to mess up the country. So the best thing they can do is just continue to vote. What
the situation is this, the establishment and Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene are backing Kevin McCartney, which most people don't like because, you know, he's like pro the war and, you know, he's sided with the Democrats and he's sold out and, you know, he's done a lot of things.
He's a rhino.
He is a rhino. But there isn't much support for somebody else. Like, there's only 20 people against Kevin McCartney. If you want to kind of evaluate the situation, there's more people that support Kevin that don't support Kevin.
Yes.
Does that make
sense? But I think that it's more than that, right? Because I think that what it comes down to is bravery. How many of those people that are voting for Kevin are just voting for the status quo? I see the majority of my peers are voting for this person. Anybody who's not voting for them is looked at as a cancer. I mean, we've had Maria Elvira and
Dan Crenshaw
both refer to the 20 representatives that haven't voted for Kevin McCartney as terrorists. So if you're new, who knows? Maybe this is your first time on the House floor. Maybe it's your first vote and you're watching that all of your peers are going in one direction. And then you've only have 20 brave souls that are willing to stand up against the establishment. So to me, as opposed to just be like, oh, shut up with the drama. That's just, clearly it's going to be McCartney. Just, you know, let's vote McCartney. And I'm proud to see the House operating like this because this is what it should look like. The entire party shouldn't be able to agree on one thing. There should be natural opposition, natural discourse that happens as a result of a huge decision like the Speaker of the House that can basically decide when something is important enough that it's not. So personally, for me, I'm enjoying watching this because I think that it's saying a lot about the state of our government.
Yeah,
it's been exposed that it's not working properly. Things are not things are not set up as they should be. And watching these 20 brave people push back and say, we're not going to fall in line with the old school establishment way of doing things. We're not going to say McCartney just because 200 of you said it. In fact, we're not going to say McCartney just because Trump said it. I personally do appreciate that. I think that that's incredibly important to getting the republic back into the order that the forefathers had originally intended for our country.
I just look. I'm gonna be and here's some wisdom too. You know, I had a lot of time to think when I was in Colombia, but I had a lot of DMs this week about this specific subject because people are like, what do you think about this? Like, can you talk about it? And I've been very busy with my store and just kind of just taking a break still from content. And what I say is this, we are fundamentally fucked, okay? We are fundamentally fucked. There's no way out of our situation in the U.S. or actually anywhere in the content, in the Western Hemisphere. It does not matter where you go. You could be going to Colombia or you could be going to Uruguay, La Patagonia, or you go to Canada all the way north. It has been completely taken over by the George Soros Marxists, because that's the reality. He's funding every single country's or revolution, including Brazil. We just had Lula installed in Brazil. And so this, to me, it has not even... I just haven't cared at all. I'm like, okay, it's just another clown show. Like, look at Matt Gaetz. Yeah, everyone's like clapping for Matt Gaetz. He went ahead and nominated Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House. We know that's not going to happen. So, like, are they playing
Do we know that that's not going to happen?
Nobody backed them up. Well, nobody backed them up.
Well, I mean, we still got a couple hundred rounds to go.
So it's just like, you know, things like this. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, another clown show by the Reuna Party. They sold out. They passed that bill that even gives more power or more money to investigate the January 6th. What is it? The January 6th insurrectionist or whatever fake insurrection. And so at this point, why are we voting Republican? Like, what is it? What is the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party if it isn't a slower, screwed? Like, I don't even know what to say.
I think that the person that actually encompassed this fucked. Perfectly was Anthony Camassas, who on his Telegram a few days ago wrote, I'm the biggest rhino of them all, and it's because I truly am a rhino in name only.
Yeah.
Because the Republican Party is the one that most closely aligns, I guess, with our perspective. But the truth is that the Republican Party continues to think that they're going to fight extremism with moderation and... In my ideal perspective would be candidates that are truly America first, that are truly going to push back against the leftist Marxist agenda. And I just feel like as a party, you know, the majority of individuals are led by the Unit Party. And it's a matter of how can we control power? How can we stay? How can we, you know, get rich off politics? How can things remain the same? And not enough people that actually care about saving the country. So, you know, the party in itself doesn't necessarily represent the views of individuals that consider themselves America first. And here's the thing. Both Linda and I are former Democrats. Or independent of a voted Democrat, former Democrats. Like, when people say that Trump can move the moderate vote, Trump moved us.
And moved many people.
We were the moderate vote.
We talked about this before the break, and, you know, we're still dealing. That's part of, like, what we wanted to talk about is how the anti-Trump Republicans who are now backing DeSantis for president are the new liberals who get triggered. I had to unfollow, like, almost everybody on Twitter. People that I liked, people that I followed for years, people that I text, because I hate them now. And, like, I can't stand them. I open up Twitter, and whenever Trump sends a truth, whatever, that they don't like or they can't read or they misinterpret, then it becomes a ticking bomb and an entire day of drama and crying. And these people have become literally everything that they say they hate about the Democrats and the left. Overreacting, crying, completely erratic. Syndrome, like, they have been infected with Trump derangement syndrome, and it's quite honestly sad. And the latest example of that was the pro-life situation, or the truths that he sent about why the Republicans lost the midterm elections. And he talked about the messaging for abortion and how some of them didn't even want abortion for exemptions like incest and rape and whatever. And so then the Republicans that hate Trump now took that as like, oh, Trump all of a sudden is blaming the voters. He never said that. And number two, he's also, I guess, somewhat pro-choice when it's Trump that literally gave us Roe v. Wade, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But this is where we are. We have all these pundits. We have the grifters, the social media influencer grifters, who just overreact every single time and put down Trump. When I was in Colombia, it was the little cards. What was it that he put out? The digital cards?
Let's break that down a little bit, right? So let's talk about
The abortion.
So the first one is that Trump recently made a comment, and it was actually a topic that we discussed on the podcast a couple of months ago. If you all remember, a few months back, I want to say the summer of 2021, after the overturning of Roe versus Wade, Lady G, Lindsey Graham, put out a statement saying that we should push to federally ban abortion in all 50 states. And as I'm a pro-lifer, I get it, hooray, whatever. I say whatever because we immediately were able to see what they were doing. As a rhino, what we were concerned with, because Lindsey Graham is a rhino, is that what he's doing right now is amping up the base. He's amping up the left to go out and vote like hell, because by telling them we're going to ban abortions 100% in all 50 states, now you have the feminists and the libs and the people that hate Trump and everybody going out there energized. They didn't have anything else to stand on. Roe versus Wade was the only thing that they had in order to energize the base. And it made a huge difference in 2022. And it made a huge difference in the primaries of in the midterm elections of 2022, because we know who it was that turned out to vote. And those
and it was Zers, lack of messaging, and it was the Gen Zers, and it was the unmarried women, and the, you know, even after the midterm elections, we talked about it here. Many of these conservatives talked about it as well. You know, there's obviously some not extremely, but pro-life people that just, they don't care if it's incest, rape, whatever. They are the minority of the country, though, I would say. I don't think that the majority of the country feels like abortion should be banned, even in the case of incest and rape.
Well, I think that whether or not, let the majority of the country decide, right? I think that part of the problem with Lindsey Graham's, suggestion that abortion should be banned at a federal level opens up the same argument that we had against Roe versus Wade, was that Roe versus Wade was a decision that was made through a Supreme Court at a federal level, and it's a decision that should have always been left to the states. Once again, that's how our republic works. So what difference does it make to me that you overturned Roe versus Wade if you're once again giving ultimate power to the federal government with something that should be done on a state-by-state level? Some states are going to be more conservative. Some states like California's are going to allow you to eat your babies up until they're 9 years old or whatever it is. I don't know.
Kill it and eat it right after. Yeah, right after.
I'm sure that they've got
set it off. But look, all this to say is that the overreaction from these people on that statement, which I knew was going to happen the minute it came out, I'm like, I cannot wait to go on Twitter. And I had to log off of Twitter immediately because it was so cringe. The same people, the Mike Cernovich, I don't even know Mark was one of them, but I'm not going to name them because you guys know some. No, don't name them. But it was the same people over and over again. I don't want to be on the side of whoever wants to murder babies. And I'm like, that's not what he said, though. Like, that is not what he said at all. Trump is the reason we overturned Roe v. Wade. Trump was the first president to go on the March for Life, whatever, on stage and talk to all these women that are and men that are pro-life. So this overreaction and these lies that Trump all of a sudden has become.
What was the other one? The other one was the Trump card. So if you guys remember the Trump card, Trump says he's going to have a historic announcement to share with us. And boy, did he. Because what he actually announced was that part of his platform for 2024 was a focus on developing a tech, an internet bill of rights, which is huge. We've actually been talking about that for at least 2 years. We've been talking about the need to extend our Bill of Rights and our constitutional rights to protect us in the digital sphere. So Trump saying that he's going to make that one of his priorities for his run in 2024 is huge. Huge. Now, Trump being Trump, also, what does he do? He releases his NFTs and he's like, major digital announcement, right. Being the major troll that he's always been. Look, and that you guys loved up until 2020.
Right.
And now it's no, and now all of a sudden his sense of humor is no longer allowed. Now you've got these influencers, which coincidentally enough, are the influencers that grifted the most.
The most.
The influencers that actually made money during the 2020 election, not like us two dumbasses that never made anything, that went out there, grifted off Trump, loved being invited to Mar-a-Lago, loved being at the front row at the rallies. And now these very people who have completely lashed on to Trump in order to be able to make a name for themselves are now the loudest, are becoming the loudest opposition against him.
And there's a lot of gays. If you guys have noticed, there's a lot of, it's funny because Trump normalized the LGBT in the conservative, in the Republican Party. Before that, there was really like no LGBT movement. Like the log cabin Republicans had never been like, looked at twice by the GOP or the RNC, whatever you want to call it. Trump normalizes the LGBT, pisses off a lot of his more conservative Christian people. Many of us are like, yeah, some of them are my friends, they're cool. Some of them are very cringe. I don't really fuck with that. But, you know, nevertheless, big tent, it is what it is. You can vote Republican. And now you have a bunch of those same people who are like backstabbing Trump. And it's absolutely disgusting.
It's all the people that Trump did the most for.
Literally, to normalize.
That are out there now. You know,
and what was funny with the Trump cards, when they first came out, we thought it was cringe to where, like, what is he doing? This is kind of cringe, like, whatever. And then, you know, he comes out with the announcement about the Internet Bill of Rights and whatnot. And I saw these big influencers with millions of followers talking so much shit about Trump and the cards and this and that and whatnot. And I went to their merch store and I'm like, let me see if they're still selling like MAGA merch. And they sure are. They're still selling.
I love Trump. Shuda. Shuda's in the comments dropping all the names Trump. We work.
Yes, yes, yes. Shuda,
keep
let's
going,
go.
Shuda, keep Shuda, going.
Let's
keep
go.
Going.
Keep going. Drop them names. Drop them names. But anyways,
you went into their merch store to check if they were still selling MAGA merch.
And I was like, I want to know if they're still selling MAGA merch. And I sent them to you. And I was like, look at these people. They think they're the only ones that can. So basically, only MAGA influencers can make a name out of Trump. And Trump himself can make a name out of himself. He did sell out of every single card.
Well, let's actually talk about the cards. Let's take a minute for every single last one of you that laughed at the NFTs. The NFTs ended up selling for $100 a piece when they were originally
on sale.
When I woke
up and I wanted them, they were gone.
They were
like,
gone.
Once I realized that it was a genius move and that we should probably buy them because a friend of ours was like, yeah, I bought one for whatever. And now it's going for like $400. And I was like, shit, I'm about to buy like five.
He was like giving us the update. He's like, it went up to 400. It went up to 700. Dude, it's over $1,000.
Dude, I literally like went to buy them and they were completely gone. Like completely gone. And then some of them I found out are selling up to like $20,000. So the more like exclusive
the more
ones.
Obscure ones?
Yeah.
And I'm like, everything that man touches turns to gold,
I was
bro.
So mad. Yeah, I was so mad.
The idea that we're going to move on from Trump again to whom?
Right.
To whom?
Well, that's the thing, right? The new influencers, grifters are want DeSantis, and we
I don't
like
want to talk about the DeSantis conversation right now because then I'm just going to get like mad agitada talking about DeSantis. I'm going to get mad agitada because if there's one thing in this life that I value more than anything is loyalty.
Yep.
It's loyalty. And I don't want to hear like, oh, it's politics. There's no loyalty. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Politics should be all about loyalty. Politics should be that when you support a candidate that says that they're going to represent your best values, they should be loyal to those values that they say they're going to represent for you. But they don't. So loyalty does matter. So for everybody, it's like, oh, well, why? What does DeSantis owe Trump? Oh, I don't know. A governorship? The fact that nobody knew who the hell DeSantis was before Donald Trump gave him an endorsement and started tweeting him out right before his run against Gillum. We were this close to having a Gillum governor.
Yeah,
this close.
If it wasn't for Trump.
If it wasn't for Trump coming in and pushing DeSantis into the finish line, we would not have a governor DeSantis.
I have the picture of myself the first time I saw DeSantis. The first rally, actually, that Trump brought him out. Like, I have a picture. I'm on the floor. DeSantis and Kate, his wife are behind me, and Trump is introducing him and saying, you guys are going to vote for this guy to be your next governor. Somehow, though, you know, we are a cult, is what they call us.
I don't give a shit what they call us. They're freaking cult members.
We are a cult.
Here's the thing. Nobody knows what Trump would have looked like as a politician in a post-COVID world.
No one.
Nobody knows that.
No one.
Because they took him from you at the end of 2020. In the middle of the mayhem. So you don't know what it's like to have Trump push back against schools, push back against, you know, whether it's COVID or shot, whatever it is. You don't know what that is like because he never existed in that sphere. So to be able to compare what DeSantis has done over the year and a, I don't want to get into a DeSantis conversation.
I told you this today. I have to tell you guys this. And I called Anthony today and I was like, I want to tell this to my followers when I go on the live. Like, I asked for a lot of advice from Anthony. And today,
for those that don't know, Anthony is Mexican dad, Anthony Cavazos.
At Inform with Anthony. With that being said, today I saw someone in a comment section complain about Biden and Trump. And she's like, you know, we can't afford eggs. Eggs are like $8, $9 a carton of eggs, whatever. And Biden's selling us out to China. And Trump is playing golf. And so I saw that. I replied to her and I said, you mean private citizen Trump is playing golf? Because, like,
what do you expect him to do?
What is he supposed to do? Like, buy your eggs? Like, what is private citizen Trump supposed to do? Not enjoy his wealth that he built, because when he was president, he wasn't taking a paycheck, you know? So what else do you guys want from this man? There's like this dependency, right? Like conservatives and Republicans talk a lot about the left wanting education for free and they're, you know, the dependency and they want free this, free education, free that. A lot of people don't realize how dependent Republicans are on other people doing their job or other people getting involved in doing things for them or saving them or having solutions. And it's just like, is Donald Trump also supposed to solve the price of eggs or pay for them or whatever because you can't afford them? You know, in the same way that we'll get insulted if we don't answer to a DM and post a mom's book, a book in a high school that is showing anal sex and we didn't see it because we get 1,000 DMs a day. And so, oh, you guys are fake. You guys are grifters. You guys actually don't care. It's like this weird dependency that's like no one's coming to save you now or never. Ever. Well, it could be a Trump presidency.
Only one person is coming to
you. It could be a DeSantis presidency. There's literally, like I said earlier, we're brutally screwed at this moment, right? And it's the whole continent that has been completely overtaken by these people. The whole continent. Okay, Bolsonaro was the last one. They got rid of him. That's it. It's over. Once they took down Trump, they took down everybody, which is why we're seeing the polarity with China and Russia, another topic of conversation. But if you guys, if people don't start taking accountability for their counties, who's running in their commission, a judge here in Miami just died. Was he a judge or he was a county of clerks? He was in charge of the county of clerks.
Yeah.
Harvey Rubenstein or whatever. Harvey Weinstein. Rubin or something.
Harvey Rubin.
Harvey Rubin. This guy was in office for 25 years. This guy has...
I feel like it was longer than that.
He had some kind of record for the longest standing politician.
Correct. Like
because he had been in different roles. But in that specific position, he was there for that long. That's literally longer than like... Vladimir Putin, like this guy ran a dictatorship in Miami all on his own. And why is that? Because nobody was challenging him. So we can sit here and complain about this person and Trump and he said this and the establishment. But if you're not taking responsibility, like who, what positions are open? Who can we run somebody to challenge those people and take back my county? What about flipping a school board? If that conversation isn't being had.
You know what's a conversation right now that's making the rounds? I don't want to talk about Ron DeSantis, but you're going to make me do it.
I didn't do it anymore.
The state of the world. I got to talk about it. One of the things that is extremely mind-blowing to me and alarming is I want to give credit where it's due. Governor DeSantis has been a good governor.
Right.
He has. He's been a good governor. However, he has not been a great governor. And I'm going to draw a very hard line on the sand for you. He has not been a great governor. None of them have. The problem is that the absolute state of the Republican Party is such absolute trash that when someone like DeSantis comes around doing the bare minimum, now it's something that's amplified. Now we're clapping like seals. We're so excited. Look at this guy saying that you can't talk about gender ideology to kids in the third grade. Okay, so what about 8-year-olds in the fourth grade? Like I said, a good governor, sure, I'll give him that. A great governor? No, we haven't seen a great governor. We have not, as Americans, seen a great governor. We haven't seen in a very long time, I'm sure way before I ever got involved into politics. And we definitely don't have a governor to match the times. Guys, before we get started, don't forget, like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss anything. Ask us questions in the super chat. Remember, we are 100% self-funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people, just me and Linda busting our ass.
What you were saying about DeSantis being... and that's one thing that... A lot of people, it's uncomfortable because we don't want to sound like DeSantis haters.
Because
we're not. And we supported him and we helped out with the campaign and we will do it all over again. But there is a reality. For example, when we were on break, there was a school board meeting over in Broward County. And it was about the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. We've told you guys about that. It's a Jewish non-governmental organization. They fight anti-Semitism. They fight racism. They fight all the things that are wrong with the world, right? Huge social justice cause. And so these people have a hand in the curriculum, okay? So this Jewish organization was basically lobbying the Broward School Board to insert their social justice CRT pro-LGBT curriculum into the Broward County school system. So why does it matter if we pass these laws in Tallahassee if we're not doing anything against these organizations like the ADL and putting a stop to them or shedding a light on them and saying, hey, listen, your organization can bypass what supposedly Tallahassee did and these lawmakers and DeSantis, and you want to bypass the law and then insert your social justice agenda into the curriculum of kids. You guys understand what I'm saying? Like, they present Florida, like, everything is so perfect. Oh, they signed this law, right? Then every single CRT book is going to go away. Meanwhile, we have organizations lobbying to insert the curriculum no matter what the law passes.
Well, you don't even have to go that far because, you know, how long have people been saying that Florida is the beacon of freedom and Florida is the freest state and, you know, Florida never went into lockdown? Bro, yes, we did, man. Yes, we did. There was people in Miami-Dade getting fined for breathing air.
Yeah.
Those were the times that we were living in. And it's like, oh, well, DeSantis left it up to the individual counties. No. Yes, while he did, in fact, leave it up to the individual counties, he kept us under an emergency order that gave leaders, mayors, and local counties draconian-type freaking power in order to tell us where we can eat, where we can breathe, how far we could stand from one another, when we could open our businesses, when we could go to work. So don't tell me that DeSantis kept Florida free, because that's not what happened. No. That is not what happened.
All the way to 2020, we were fighting the mask. We were fighting the bullshit. It wasn't until the very end that they decided to do something about it.
Dude, mid-2021, we were still fighting. Yeah. The kids were going starting the new school year in 2021, and we were still at school board meetings fighting the mask. Yeah. And yes, it's great that he took a stand, but why are we as Americans so satisfied with the bare minimum? Yes, after a year and a half of the COVID bullshit, DeSantis stepped in and told schools, hey, guess what? You can walk into a club without a mask on. So I think the kids can be able to go to school without a mask. Bro, that's not something that he deserves a trophy for.
Yeah.
That's it just isn't. We're so satisfied with the bare minimum because he was the only one doing anything. Right. So because he was the only one doing anything out of 49 other governors, somehow.
That's sad. Imagine that's the clapping state of the party in our country. Imagine clapping both parties. Imagine clapping for one governor to take a stand. One out of 50 states. And even that one governor is doing the bare minimum. Because bars were still closed when I went in August of 2020 to Bradenton. Bars were still closed. I literally had to get like my pina colada and then walk to the beach.
In Bradenton,
which is like red and like up north in Florida. Bars were still closed. So there's just a law that I think will focus on another podcast.
Fine. I won't get into my rant about DeSantis. I got a lot to say. I got a lot to say about a lot of people because, again, I really...
I'm very disappointed in people. I'll say this.
Let's talk about the PSYOP, right? Because that leads into our next topic because we want to talk about the Twitter files. A few months ago, we saw out of Iran the protest that had started in Iran when, what was her name? Masia, I forgot what her name was, but it was the young lady who had been taken into police custody because she wasn't wearing her
hijab.
Her hijab, allegedly, and that she allegedly died under police custody, even though there is video footage that shows her passing out for no reason at all. Very similar to other situations that we've seen in the news as a result of maybe allegedly the juice. So Linda and I immediately, we start researching and we're looking in and we basically find that the story broke by an Iranian influencer that's actually a Fed. She gets paid
by the CIA.
By the CIA to peddle narratives regarding Iran.
It's not just a conspiracy. And I mean, we posted it here. We find the receipts of the grants that she's getting from the U.S. federal government. We find her employment, which is this radio media, whatever journalism, Iranian media agency backed by the U.S. We do all the work. We have all the receipts. We show it to people on Instagram. We show it to people here. We talk about it on the podcast. And guess what? People are saying that we are wrong, that
you don't care,
that we do not care about women's rights, that we...
You're so cold-blooded. We're such horrible people. Right. You don't care about... These women are oppressed. They want to take off their hijabs. They want to bring in the homo globo. Why don't you just let them...
I was looking at pictures of some of these protests in Iran, and the women, you could tell that they were liberal women. They had... the whole Antifa, all black look. They didn't have hijabs. They had piercings. They had green hair. They had purple hair. I mean, you're never, even the more Americanized Muslim women, you're never going to find them looking like that. And these women were like burning police cars and on top of them and with the fist up. And you're telling me that those are the normal people in Iran? Obviously not. That is the opposition. And so obviously those are the dissidents.
We call it the PSYOP. All of a sudden, everybody's posting, you know, they're praying for Iran. Oh, my God. The pictures, the hashtags.
The hair.
You guys know.
The hair.
The influencers cutting off their hair. The best parts were the ones that were only cutting off their tips because they just wanted to do it for clout, but they weren't willing to sacrifice their hair. Anyway, so we survive all of this. And the entire time, people are telling us how, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're so ignorant. It's Russian propaganda, la, 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 going off on their bullshit like they usually do with us, right? So per usual, we have to take the sticks and the stones that they throw at us for a while. Boom. What happens? Twitter files come out. It had actually already come out before that. It had already been confirmed by mainstream media that this influencer lady from Iran, I forgot what her name was in fact an operative. So boom, check that. Linda and Bella were right. Then the Twitter files come out. And in the Twitter files, they specifically say that the CIA was working. Well, I don't want to say working with Twitter because seemingly what was going on with the Twitter files is that there was, surprisingly enough, there was opposition from Twitter in how much power they were giving these agencies and what it was that they were asking for.
But what it comes out is that the CIA was specifically asking Twitter
to blow accounts,
to blow any account and prop up accounts that were feeding, and well, let's call it what it was, an anti-Muslim narrative.
Right.
They, to weaponize, to demonize anybody of Muslim faith or from a country in the Middle East. But also
specific countries that the U.S. has beef with.
Including Iran.
Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, countries like that. And then in the Twitter files, you see CIA agents or FBI telling the Twitter employees, like, here's a list of the accounts that we want you to push, right? And it was all these Middle Eastern independent media. Because, see, this is how powerful independent media is for any industry and for anybody. That the CIA and the FBI had their own accounts that they were pushing.
Influencers,
okay, in the Middle East. And they're doing it for everything else. We just saw another article about COVID. I'll mention it now. That they were pushing these accounts, Operation Mockingbird, to change people's perspective, to sway public opinion is what they were trying to do. So that you could say, did you see the video of that woman being beat up by the Taliban? She was being stoned. That video gets 5 million views because Oprah shares it, then Beyonce. And then the next thing you know, you have the next, you know, like George Floyd situation. So we just saw another article also from Twitter, also from fake accounts. It was in the San Francisco Journal or whatever. The title was, there was all these medical professionals, doctors on Twitter during the pandemic. They were pushing masks. They were pushing the vaccine. They were pushing lockdowns. Those accounts do not exist. They were ghost accounts. They were fake accounts. They were bot accounts that, and by the way, most of them belong to the transgender community, like specifies it on the article, and how they would all post, like, you know, it was such a hard day today at the ER, like 70,000 patients die, like, you know, this many patients died of COVID. Of course, that stuff goes viral. And what does that do? Further push people that are like, yes, we need a lockdown. Yes, we need masks. Like, look how many people are dying. Like, you need to take your vaccine. You need to mask up. You need to do this. So very, very important to know. And I think Trump has talked about that many times, that Twitter has a lot of inflated numbers. I think even so now, a lot of bot accounts and a lot of these narratives, including the DeSantis narrative right now, is being built by those type of accounts, Linda, on social media.
Linda, please, Linda, do not get me talking about DeSantis.
It's true. So the only...
But let's go back to the Twitter files, because that is important. You know, we've basically found out with this last release of Twitter files that the CIA was in direct, the CIA and the FBI were working in direct connection with the social media companies, because I'm sure that Twitter is not the exception. It's clearly something that was happening with more than one company, allegedly. But what we were finding out is that they were suppressing any information that talked about the origins of COVID. For those of you that have checked into alternative media, you've been hearing for quite some time that the original story of a monkey in a market somewhere in China was BS. This was a potential, I don't want to say it because I'm scared of just like the algorithm or not, but the point is that the virus, stories that discussed about the virus being man-made, potentially being developed in a lab, were suppressed by our intelligence agencies as Russian misinformation. It gives you something to consider as far as what else did they suppress. We know that Adam Schiff was contacting Twitter directly and was handing off list of 200,000 plus people, telling them to release, to delete any account that touched on topics of Q stuff, or you know, it talked about the sex trafficking, or any account that maybe pointed out things about him that he wasn't happy with, or that he didn't feel comfortable with. So it says a lot. It's almost like Trump saying that the Bill of Rights, the digital Bill of Rights, around the same time as the Twitter files are coming out. Like, it's almost like there is a perfect synergy to it all coming out together, because what it does is that now it's shining a light on the fact that you thought you had free speech. well, we've known that we don't have free speech for some time, but you thought you had free speech. And now these files are coming out and showing the average person, the average Twitter user that maybe had never been affected by the censorship to look around and be like, oh, holy shit, they were keeping this from me. And then you have to start asking questions. Why? Why was there such a deep need and desire to control the narrative when it came down to COVID? And more importantly, why were facts, information, stories, real doctors being suppressed? And why is everything called Russian misinformation?
Well, it's the same thing that they've done to the Muslims, right? Russian spy, the Russians are bad, Russians are big bad people. It's the same thing. It's been American propaganda. It's the same way that certain races and religions are more preferred versus a Muslim, right? It's the same thing with the Russians. They can just blame the... They're actually blaming the Colombian election on Russians as well. They're saying that they blame everything on the Russians.
Poor Vladdy.
It's like the same thing over and over again. There was something that... Was it about Vladdy? No, it was about somebody else. Like, what were you talking about right before Vladdy?
What was I talking about before Vladdy?
The Twitter files.
I don't know. Why do you have me remember? I don't know. You know my short-term memory.
Because my allergies are so bad. There was something that I was going to tell people about that just recently happened, and it's like slipped my mind. What else was it?
I don't know.
Oh, Andrew Tate. Some people, I think even Reyna was asking me about Andrew Tate. I honestly think that they are persecuting him. This is what I think happened. I think that he, you know, if you're Andrew Tate, you have all these eyes on you and you have engaged in shady business before in those type of countries, you piss off the wrong people, they're going to weaponize the country against you.
You mean Greta?
Well,
realistically.
Yeah, it could have been.
They only found out who he was, where he was at, because he posted the response video to Greta with the Romanian boxes.
That ended up, I think, being like a hoax.
Did it? Point of the matter is they found them. I personally, it's hard to say that Tate is being persecuted when, you know, it seems like every single day you can find another video of him openly talking about the stuff that they did do this, right?
But what did they do? It was chem girls.
But the idea is
and that's not why they're going against them. They're going against him for money. No, they're not.
But part of the argument about the human trafficking is that these girls are saying that they were brought into the cam girl business by the fact that they were being promised relationships and love and all these other things from Tate. So they went over there with the idea that they were going to be wifey. Or, you know, wifey number 17 or whatever number it is that of wives that he wants or has. And that wasn't it at all. It was all a business decision. So the claim that they're making against human trafficking is that they were basically led on into thinking that they were flown out to Romania to pursue these relationships, these like love-filled relationships with the Tate brothers. And that's not at all what it was. It was all like business transactions. And it's hard to make the argument against that when... Both Andrew and what's the other brother's name?
Tristan.
Both Andrew and Tristan have talked about, you know, for example, Tristan has an entire clip where he's they call it like the lover boy something. The method or whatever it is. And the method is how to basically bag any woman that you want by promising love and commitment, and how you only have to do that for a certain amount of time. He has another video where he's preaching the same practice on how to take a woman's virginity. It's like, oh, well, if you want to take a woman's virginity, I hate to break it to you, it's not going to be easy. You need to at least invest 3 months of love, and I'm going to marry you and all these other things. And like, it's trashy, bruh.
That's not human trafficking.
Well, I mean, if the girls feel like, A, that they were underage and that they were led.
Were they underage?
Some of them were. So I think that it has to do with the age of consent in Romania. and why it's not under child trafficking. But like, for example, there is the daughter of some kind of political figure within Romania that has come forward with text messages where Andrew Tate reached out to her and tells her that he basically wants her to be one of his girls. He wants to meet her, have a date, whatever. And she tells him her age, which I believe was 16 at the time. And he says that's fine.
Yeah.
So it goes back to the original episode that we had on Andrew Tate, where I just felt like he was a bit of a contradictory figure for our movement. Because you can't be a movement.
The thing is that the reason why there's no such thing as Andrew Tate being part of the movement. There is that Andrew Tate became widely popular on social media, particularly TikTok. And there are men who happen to admire or like some of the stuff that he has to say, in terms that it's not even truth. It's just common sense shit. And that's the thing, is that conservatism is now like a synonym for common sense stuff.
Yeah.
So if someone who's common sense says it or has the same opinion as somebody in the Republican Party or the conservative movement, that ends up being like, oh, well, he's trying to, like, it's the same thing with like the Kanye West effect.
Well,
that conservatives are like, well, he's not, you know, like, you can't listen. He's not part of the movement. It's like, bro, just because he says he doesn't want, you know, or talks about porn or you know, foreign policy or that, like, it doesn't necessarily mean or has the same opinions. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's some sort of, like, figure, you know, for, like, the party or the movement.
Well, I mean, I think that it goes back to what I was saying about DeSantis earlier, how like he was a good governor but not a great governor. And because there's a lack of good governors, and of course he excels and people think that he's this amazing governor even though he was only subpar. I think that something along those lines also happens with Tate, right? Tate's like now big on the manosphere, and we're in a society where women have been deleted and men are being fed soy, and our men are being weakened, and women are being told that they could be men and all these other things. And I think that with all this confusion, you get a figure like Andrew Tate saying some very real things like, ladies, don't be hoes because then you lose your value. Dudes, get your shit right because nobody wants to fuck with you if you're just a deadbeat nobody.
So
he's speaking facts. These things need to be said, you know, bringing back the respect and the I guess the distinction between the gender roles and where it is that we are. And I think that because the country has been so, this gender ideology of watering down the sexes, in comes this it figure with so much bravado like Tate and starts speaking things that are based on truth. Like a lot of the things that he says are based on truth. My issue personal with Tate is just that I feel like there's a lot of things about his life that are contradictory to the things that he preaches about.
Yeah.
Right. You can't say that you want, you know, if in the manosphere, if the idea is that, you know, men are in charge, men are the ones that, you know, we're the ones that are in power, you're just there for us to protect you and to make us feel good, I'm down with that. I'm down to make the sandwiches. I fuck with that heavily. But that means that you do, in fact, protect women. You don't belittle them, berate them. And I feel like there's a lot of that he does, which makes the entire thing contradictory, I guess, because to some degree,
you could be a gentleman
without being a sim.
You know who else does it too? That girl Pearl. That girl Pearl stays belittling women. Like she's she's big in the manosphere. It's not the same thing. I'm just saying, like,
Pearl gets written off a lot as like a pick me girl, right? That she's just saying the right things to get the guy's attentions and the things, and I get that too. But she's not saying things that are untrue. Like Pearl gets a lot of heat for calling people out for being overweight. Maybe she's not the nicest person about it, but the truth is that we are living in a society that's glorifying unhealthy habits. Like
what I mean is some of it is part of their show. Like they have an online personality. It's kind of like the girl that pretends to be like a Russian sugar baby and this girl HRH who like screams and like not, you know, like whatever. Like there is an aspect of these people that we're talking about that have like a...
personality that they're
taking
portraying.
Away the trouble that he's in. I'm talking about like some of the things that he said, like for clickbait, you know, it goes
viral.
But
I think that that's part of the problem, that then a lot of those things that maybe he says for clickbait or because he knows it's going to get attention then ends up being
used against
contradictory
oh, yeah.
to his philosophy of life.
Right.
So it's like, it's one or the other. Like, you can't be both. And I think that that's my personal problem with Tay. I think he speaks mad truth. I think that there is a generation of,
but wait,
of boys out there that are turning into men because of, like, stuff that Tate talks
so
about.
So to say, you're saying that, and that answers the question, which is he a net positive or a net or a negative for society? And I'm going to say he is a positive. And I've seen it with someone like Victor, my friend Victor, sign up for his course or whatever. And he's like, I'm learning so much from this course and you know, what to do. And like, I don't know, this whole thing he was telling me this weekend, I was like, oh, okay, you know, good for you. You know, he wants to like start dressing better. Like there is an aspect of positive for men.
I'm here for it. Like, my algorithm totally has me on a Tate algorithm. Like,
really? Where?
It's on YouTube. Like, every time that I'm on YouTube, it's always
I've never seen him again on TikTok. What? Never.
I do see him on YouTube all the time. It's like Tate, Pearly things. Like, I'm on the manosphere algorithm 1000%.
My thing with Pearly, this is gonna sound really bad. Really bad. And I've had to like just internalize it a little bit.
Are you sure you want to say it out loud?
I'm going to have to say it out loud. So I follow Pearly things and I like her. And I think that, again, you know, the things that she says are truthful. I come, I guess, and I realized this when I was in Colombia, from a much more superficial society, I think, right? Where the standard of beauty is completely different than it is here.
Yeah.
And so when I was at the gym, and I told you and Josue this on the chat, and I'm at the gym and I'm seeing, and every single girl when I was in Cali, in Colombia, working out around me was a 10 or a 12, and like the cougars, you know, 45 years old, probably older, just looking fly as hell. Like, I was probably one of the least fit women, person at the gym, you know, whereas here I'm like top 10 at the gym maybe. And I was like, holy shit, like, you know, I find these girls' Instagrams, and like, in reality, none of these women have this type of mentality that Pearl has. And Pearl is like an average looking girl. So when I look at Pearl and she says,
but they do, but I disagree with you, because what do we talk about when you were telling me about the girls? What time were they in the gym? At 11, in the middle of the day. Why? Because they do expect their husbands to be out making the money and taking care of them. So realistically,
that's not what I mean. What I mean is, like, Pearl shits a lot on women, right? Like, a lot. And it's just like, she's not somebody that I would necessarily look up to as, like, I would like to be like
but
her.
But I don't think that she doesn't present herself looks. As such, though. Like, Pearl knows that she's average.
She just said it the other day.
She's very well aware. So she doesn't by any chance try. She doesn't say, do what I do, because she talks about things that she's done in the past and mistakes that she's made. But I do think that she's having a conversation that's incredibly important for young girls, where it's like, pay attention. Dude, you know, she had one particular topic that she's been talking about, where I guess that there's been like studies showing that, like, coming over like the next 10 years or not, like, there's going to be more women that are basically going to be like single and are just not.
But see, that is my problem with people like Pearl and Tate, because they're always mostly blaming. And the thing is, they know they're following. They know that 90% of people that follow them are men.
Yes, Reina, that's Pearl.
Are men. So because of that, they have to blame the women for everything. And there was this one time, I just caught it on tape about a week ago, that some girl, he was on a podcast, is like, don't you think that, like, what do you have to say to a girl that, like, I don't know, he basically had to admit that, like, yeah, both men and women are fucked up. That's why 10 months.
No, they aren't fucked up. And I don't think that the entire blame should fall on women. But I do think that we're at a point in society where women have been giving a get out of jail free card, where they can just blame guys for, like, oh, that, you know, they ain't shit. So then that's enough. And that's without taking accountability to the fact that it's like, yeah, you know, I was, how long did you chase your career for? How long did you prioritize that? Another thing is like, you know, like marriages. I'm married. My husband and I went through a difficult time in our marriage in 2020. And I think that we're living in times where women, and this is an argument that had been made before when the Kim Kardashian and Kanye West divorce came up, because Kim said that she just wanted to be happy and that she wasn't happy anymore. And she wanted to get a divorce because she felt like she had to do whatever it was that she needed to do to make herself happy. And in theory,
do we think that's real though? Do we think she's like lying?
Well, I mean, you know, nonetheless, it's still an argument that you hear a lot from women, where it's something shocking. Yeah. Like 80% of marriages end because it's initiated. The divorce is initiated by women that are not happy. So is this idea that's been put maybe from movies or fairy tales, where you have this unrealistic ideal of what love is, and therefore you think you're going to be happy all the time? And the truth is that marriage isn't freaking go happy go lucky 100% right. of the time. You're going to have difficult times and hard times, and you got to work through that. So I feel like those are conversations that need to be had, because women are sold a lot of fairy tales, and they're sold you know, movies and Hollywood relationships and all these other things. And then when they're in a relationship of value, they don't know how to necessarily invest in it and continue to stay vested in it. Yeah. Which goes back, when you have 80% of all marriages being, when you have 80% of all divorces being initiated by women, we have to recognize that there's a problem with the female ideology these days. So when you have voices like Pearl or like Tate or Femme Sapien, those are voices that are incredibly important to young girls that we're talking to a brand new generation,
because they're followed by Gen Zers. You know how I know that I'm right in what I'm trying to say? Guys, I'm a little bit groggy too because I took like allergy medicine, so I feel like just weird. But during my break in Colombia with Ali, who is also, most of her following is in the manosphere, she speaks a lot of truth and I really like her. She gets attacked. She, by the way, she's married to an older guy. She's like doing all the right things that they say, like marry the older guy, right? Because you're fertile and young. And so she does it and get pregnant. And so she's pregnant. So she's and be feminine. So she's feminine. Right. And be modest. So she's modest. So she's doing all the right things, right? For the internet.
I love her. I listen to her all the time. And I was like, what are you watching? I'm learning how to be a better wife. I'm watching Femme Sapien.
But wait, she's getting attacked. She's been getting attacked so much just by haters on the internet, like saying stupid shit. And I told her, and I said to her, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, you got to understand that a lot of the people, like I responded on Twitter, I said, a lot of these men in the manosphere are losers. They are losers. They're internet basement dwellers. They sit here and they shit on women all day long. So even when you do the right things, like marrying the older guy, like getting pregnant, don't work, be a housewife, make the sandwich, and you do all these things, and they still come and shit on her.
Yeah, I mean, but like, here's the thing. We were talking about this earlier today. It doesn't matter what you do in life, particularly as women, there's always going to be a level of hate that you get. Whether it's coming from other women, whether it's coming from men, you'd be surprised how often it comes from men.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
There's always going to be people that are talking negatively about it, but I think that the podcast that Femme Sapien put out and the content that she puts out, you know, and how she views her marriage, she's very marriage centric, and you know, she's all about how to be a better. I think that those things are important, because marriage is not something that's looked at with the same level of respect as it was before. People are very quick. Again, a woman can say, "Oh well, I'm not happy. I'm really stressed, and he's just not nice to me, and I'm gonna get a divorce." And there's no investing back into the marriage. That's why we don't see relationships like we used to see with our grandparents, where they're celebrating 80-year anniversaries of being together.
Yeah.
Right? So I appreciate the manosphere. I think it's necessary in the times that we are living in. I think that it's a stark contrast to the you know, the transgender agenda that we see being pushed everywhere. Like, you can't even get a freaking burger without having the trans agenda being pushed on you. So I think that the entire manosphere movement, that to some degree has lifted Tate as the lead figure, top G, is necessary. So I'm definitely all for the conversations. There's things about Tate in particular that it's like, I just wish you weren't so contradictory to the things that you do, because it would be a lot easier to make. I don't know. I feel like there's certain things that are contradictory. Like, you can't say that you respect women, but then at the same time, you know, get innocent girls that have never been exposed to any kind of pornography and get them to start doing that under the allegedly under the idea that they've got a meaningful relationship with
him. And allegedly he stopped doing that a long time ago or something like that. I mean, I don't follow Tate's every move. I just what some of my friends tell me and some of the clips that I catch on YouTube. But it's 10:21. We will take some super chats and questions. So for about 10 to 15 minutes, plus I feel really terrible. I'm like getting more sick by the minute. Maybe I am getting sick. So please use the chat. We'll be here for a few more minutes.
I want to return to Facebook Mansion on Saturday and Nikki Beach on Sunday. Dude. You can tell that Shuda saw the meme from Only in Date today.
He saw the meme from Only in Date.
Only in Date. For those of you that are unaware, Only in Date is an Instagram page, if you're not from Miami, that just posts content just from the ridiculousness that is Miami-Dade County.
So crazy.
But they posted a meme today and it said, you know, like, what clubs did you spend the most time at when you were younger or whatnot? And dude, I spent an entire hour on that because Miami culture is very different than the rest of America. For you guys that are watching us, I saw someone say hi to us from Australia. You know, Miami culture is very different than anywhere else in the world, where going to clubs is this very like natural thing that you start doing when you're like 11. I think I went to my first club when I was like 11 or 12, my first all ages party. So I swear to you, when Only in Date put up like the thing, I spent an entire hour going through the comments, like reliving my entire, like my from 15 up until like 25,
yeah,
like all of the clubs, all of the sleepless nights, all of like, shit, I remember going to that club, like Oxygen, 69, Tropolis, Eternal. Anyways, fun time. You can tell that Shudo was doing that. I ate so myself and did it.
So if you guys...
Hey, Rainbow.
Hi. Who's Rainbow?
Rainbow is a friend that I made on Truth, and she's here checking out our podcast probably for the first time.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, guys.
We'll take some questions from you guys.
What do you want to talk about? Use the super chat. Please help us out.
Yes, guys,
support our work.
Help support our work.
Don't forget to share. And yes. And like, also follow us on Instagram. We're going to be more active on Instagram.
We're going to be more active on Instagram. We're going to be more active everywhere. We'll be more active on YouTube. The idea is to be able to bring you more content. We're looking to line up our first sponsor, God willingly. And that's going to really give us the freedom that we need in order to be able to bring you guys more content. But we do want to answer some questions. Eric Joseph says men won't lead. That's the other part of the problem. Yeah, unfortunately, Eric, this is exactly part of the problem. Men do not lead, which then forces women into a masculine energy, which then takes away from their femininity and then forces the men into a feminine role. And it's really all how society is leading it, right? Because when you've got the entire feminist movement making men feel like they have to apologize for being men, that's kind of what it is that you get. I don't necessarily blame it on the individuals or like a lack of like being raised the right way. I think that a lot of it has to do that just culturally where it is that we're at, men are shamed for being men.
It's true.
Thank you, Eric, for your contribution, always taking care of us. Who else do we have? Another problem is the feminist movement. Girl, listen to me. If there is anybody that I hate in this world, pedophiles, commies, and feminists in that order, every single time. Every single time. You want to look at the downfall of of the world? Pedophiles, commies, and feminists. Every single last time. What did you guys think of Matt Gaetz? Sorry about... Yeah, Josh, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I mean, do you mean in general where it is that he's at? The fact that he brought up Trump as speaker? I mean...
He's okay, bro. He's
Matt
not,
Gaetz is
I'm
okay,
not,
bro.
He's like a frat boy. I'm not a huge fan of Matt Gaetz. I don't... Like, I've never even posted, like, anything about him on my feed. I'm not a fan of him, per se.
Oh, Matt Gaetz?
He's okay, whatever.
I have a friend that I would, because I would vent about him all the time, right? And it was always like, I love him. Can't stand him. I love him. Why did he do that? Like, they used to call him Just the Tip Gaetz because it's like, you never really want to go all the way with Gaetz because you just never know if he's going to potentially screw you over. I don't know how I feel about Gaetz. I'm not 100%. He's not necessarily my favorite.
He has the crazy look. Yes. I'm telling you, I've been around him too. Like, I've been in like very private settings around him and I've always kept my distance. His fiance is very, very nice. He's nice. He'll say hi and whatnot, but
Nate just asked, you guys don't seem to like the Florida politicians very much. No, let me explain to you what it is. We are Floridians, right? And again, to go back, kind of the same point that I was making in regards to DeSantis. When you've got a state like California or Illinois or Oregon, and
That's legit third world.
Right. When you've got these states acting like third world countries, and then here come these individuals from Florida, and they're saying these things that seem really based when you have somebody like a Newsom to compare it up against, I understand why the natural reaction is like, yo, Gates is dope. DeSantis is dope. Luna's, like, everybody in Florida is doing dope things. I get that. The politicians in Florida are doing good things. I'm not going to take it away from that. But where our country is at right now, we don't need good. We need great. Good isn't going to cut it. And that's the problem. That to me, I ride the Floridian politicians hard, because I feel the entire world is watching you as like the league of freedom, maintaining the, as long as Florida's free, then America's free. And if America's free, the world is free. And they're doing an okay job at it, but not great. And I, as a Floridian that is involved, I feel that it's important to speak out and say they could be doing more. Because if we are the beacon of what the rest of the country is supposed to be doing, then we need to be doing a lot more.
And also, like, we've been, you know, we've been disappointed by some of these people before. I met some of these people behind closed doors, and not Gates, like, necessarily, just in general. And so it's a little bit disappointing sometimes, you know, to see people like another face that the general public does not see, or the stuff that we learn, then we're like, we're just going to keep it between, you know, a few selected amount of people, because we're not going to start the rumors.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to start a world, and we don't want to shit on Florida politics in general, or date politics or anything like that. But we, over the last couple of years, we have been exposed to some inner workings where we know that there's a lot more that they could be doing.
Like, just really quickly, shout out to Eric Joseph. Thank you so much for your super chat. And also Stacy, thank you for coming once again.
Thank you Stacey, so much for your contribution. Best. We really appreciate it.
Somebody's asked about where is Ye. Ye is actually in Ghana. So Ye is, I'm serious.
What did I tell you? What have I been telling you? I've been telling you, he's going to have his moment. He's going to scream. He's going to cry. He's going to throw himself on the floor. And then Genius Jay is going to get his creative juices flowing. And I promise y'all, we're going to get the dopest album, the dopest Yeezy collection.
Supposedly, he's going to be at a music festival in Ghana. And so they're already spotted Chance the Rapper. And they already saw Dave Chappelle. And they saw Kanye's team. And they just posted about it, too. He may be performing this weekend. It starts tomorrow.
It's going to be lit.
Allegedly. We'll see. They had seen him. Oh, my God. That was the funniest sighting of Ye on a Barstool's... Not, sorry. There was the funniest comment about Ye on a Barstool's podcast. Apparently, the guy was at the Amangiri, Utah. Like, this, like, very, like, extravagant and, like, private, exclusive hotel in Utah in the mountains that looks like the desert. And Kanye was spotted there, and he's like, did you see, like, this guy's wife was like, did you see who's, like, next to us? And he's like, no. He's like, look. And he's like, there it was, Kanye West, smiling from ear to ear, very happy, enjoying himself. And so I guess Kanye has just been on the low.
Why? Ye already did what he was going to do, bro. If you guys had been following the Ye controversy since the beginning of 2022, you know that Ye wanted out of all of his shitty contracts. Adidas, yeah. Gap, everything. He wanted out of all of it because they were all screwing him. And he's even had footage coming out and saying it. He's like, that's going to be monumentally the last time in history that you're going to see somebody get out of contracts with one tweet.
Gotcha.
And I promise you, that man is a renaissance man. We're about to see the greatest things that have ever come out of Ye next. What's the next question, guys?
It's 10:30. I think we gotta go now.
Ye did.
Because I'm dying.
All right.
I'm dying a little
bit. No, Annabella, I do not have Instagram, but you can catch me on the Mostly Peaceful Latinas Instagram. I get the messages relayed to me every once in a while.
Well,
what
guys,
else do we have? That's it.
That's it. once again, thank you so much for supporting us. Please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. We'll have the audio form of this tomorrow, so if you came in at the end or in between or in the middle, whatever, you can catch it, the reruns, tomorrow.
Watch it here, and we'll also be uploading on to Rumble.
Absolutely. So we will catch you next week. Thank you so much for coming back.